Welcome, everybody, to the Your Hour on the Countercurrents Radio Network. And this is the October 21st, 2012 program. I want to thank everyone that's been commenting about my show. And I want to reiterate the fact that this show is possible because of all of what I've learned in my life, but also from what I've learned from all of you. Every one of you produces this program. Every time you send me an article off the internet, it is wonderful, and I really appreciate it. We are, as a people, and as the people of this network, we are creating an alternative news source specifically focused on the survival of our habitat for world Yuri. The term world Yuri is something that I coined because I thought, why not use the terms that are out there that are used by the kosher media worldwide to describe themselves, and drop the J and talk about Yuri, respelling E-U-R-Y. Yuri sounds like jewelry, doesn't it? Well, this is how we create cognitive dissonance in the minds of people around the world, using their concepts. The white world in general are beamed with this conservation issue constantly. Constantly. Recycle, recycle. I was thinking earlier this week, and I was thinking to myself, hey, what about recycling political correctness? Recycling it to make it a more effective political correctness so it serves the interests of world Yuri, world European people, the people that are referred to as Goy, Gringo, Honky, White Boy, and Shiksa. The white narrative, what's important as white folks? And this is not a abstract concept. Let's look at something very practical. And I can't remember if I mentioned this on one of my past programs on this network or another network that I was on, but I bought all this camera equipment when I had more money, and I thought to myself, well, I'm going to be using this in the future. Well, I didn't use it. It was just sitting here, literally drawing dust, gathering dust. And I contacted a friend of mine, a younger guy who has six children. And his oldest child is a camera enthusiast, a digital camera enthusiast. And he is very proficient at what he does. So I donated all of that. When I say donated, I didn't get a tax break for it. I just gave this equipment to my friend's oldest son. Why did I do that? Because I'm thinking strategically. What good is camera equipment if I'm not using it? So why not give it to somebody who is a member of a white family that I respect, who are productive, who engage in homeschooling for their family, who help other white people in this area? So I was helping another white family by giving something to them, which I wasn't using myself. I had a desk that had been literally gathering dust. So I gave it to this family so they would have an extra desk in their house so they could use it. Something practical. My position is, at least what I try to do, is to give to other whites, to be a friend to other whites. It is extremely important, in my view, that we as European peoples not only provide information that is important to our community, but that also we have daily tasks, daily things that we do that consciously help other white folks. Now, I live up here in northern Idaho. This area is made up of white California refugees for the most part. The media here, which is a Zionist media, the Coeur d'Alene Press, tries to create division between the white folks that have come from California predominantly and the people that have been here for a while. That is a conscious decision on their part to divide and conquer, to keep us squabbling amongst ourselves. It is a conscious thing on my part to point things like this out, but also in my daily life up here, talk and conduct myself in a way that I will be helping our cause as white folks worldwide. And as far as I'm concerned, our cause is for the health, mental, physical, spiritual sobriety, spiritual health. What I have discovered is that as I do that, even the people up here that have different political views. And by the way, folks, if you ever come up here, this is no skinhead haven. This is no what the media would refer to as extremist community. The only extremist thing about it is that it's over 90% white folks. In fact, most of the people, the whites up here, are either part of Team CNN, or part Fox News, or part of Team National Public Radio, which is the same way it is every place else. Very little critical thinking on our part. But having said that, it is so much nicer to be around these different peoples, different ideologies within our community, than it is to be an ethnic minority, like let's say in the coastal cities of California, or the valleys, the Central Valley of California, that's becoming a Mexican gang haven, just like Southern California, Northern California, in places like Oakland, that is a black brown stronghold. And so getting back to this, I conduct myself in a way that, yes, if somebody wants to know what my beliefs are, I say, yeah, I'm for white folks, but I don't carry on a chip on my shoulder towards people of the left or the Zionist right, or the Zionist left or the Zionist right. I try to be an example. I try to eat right. I try to exercise. I constantly am trying to keep my yard up, to do my water aerobics, which I love to do. I love to dance. I go to places where there's other seniors and dance with the gals and have a good time, chat it up with the guys that are my age, but also the younger people too. It's all about living like a normal person, even though we have this maelstrom of political ethnic vendetta by the kosher media against us. I was driving from Spokane last night, and I was going down a street called Trent, and Trent crosses over the eastern part of Spokane from close to downtown all the way out towards the Idaho border, and Trent becomes Highway 53. As I was driving out that way, I started noticing the new economy. Tattoo parlors and pawn shops. My God. And as I was thinking about Coeur d'Alene, we started having all these tattoo shops. That's part of the new political culture. But so many people, even seniors, are getting tattoos in order to be hip, slick, and cool. Now, I don't have any tattoos. The only tattoo I have is where I was shot in the face by a black teenager and called a white boy in 1975. That's my tattoo. But again, I want to get back to this idea. I want to get back to something I mentioned earlier about the white narrative, and more specifically, the pro-white narrative. I was talking to a friend of mine who lives down south, a very intelligent woman, a senior, or beginning to be a senior, close to being a senior, and we were talking about the divide between white men and white women. Well, this has been going on since the 60s and 70s. And this idea of older white men and women living alone, because the kosher media has done its voodoo trick on our people, dividing us along gender lines, dividing us along political, religious lines. And I had a date with this gal who's from England recently. We went to Spokane to see a musical. And I was probing her in terms of getting her position on different political issues of the day. And she was telling me about this guy who I know, and the fact that they weren't going out anymore because of the fact that he was a big Obama supporter. Now, when I had talked to this guy about this woman and why they weren't going out, he said, "Oh, she's so negative." Well, he never told me he was an Obama supporter. Now, this guy is a good guy overall. I don't have any problems with him. But you see, he was married to a Latina earlier, and he met her down in Southern California. So my mind immediately thinks that this guy looks at himself as somebody who is part of the cultural left because he had a Latina as a wife back in Southern California and has children by her. So again, this guy portrays this gal that he used to date, who I had basically it's a friendship date. We're not serious, but she's a good gal. But he made her out to be, oh, so negative. Well, who's the negative person? If I was going out with a woman who was an Obama supporter, we'd have big problems. So would my position be, oh, she's so negative? Yes. But it's so amazing that people, if they perceive you to be of a certain political stripe, like I don't consider myself a conservative. I can consider myself a white-centric person. As I mentioned before on this program, as a British guy told me back in, when was it, 2000, January 2000, He says, oh, you're not a left winger or a right winger. You're a white winger. And I said, you got it, Mike. You bet. So again, folks, when you're with people and you think you're comfortable enough with that person, ask them about their point of view and start in a very discreet way. Ask them why they think certain things. This woman in England was telling me about the Muslims. And I have a friend from the United States who lives there. He's actually grew up in Brooklyn. So he knows the situation in the New York City area, in the Manhattan borough network and beyond, in that immediate area. So anyway, this English woman was talking about the Muslims and how horrible it was they're taking over. And I said, well, what about the blacks? The dangerous black neighborhoods where whites are getting killed. Oh, she said, basically, it's all hunky-dory. Everything is okay. Then I told her a story about when I was in London in 78 or 79 and staying with an English family. And before I left, I took my clothes over to an Arab dry cleaner. And just before I left, I picked up my clothes there and I complimented this Arab guy on the fact that it was so safe there. Well, he told me, my God, he said, we've had increase of black crime since Roots was televised on the BBC. Now, I related that to this woman that I had a date with. All of a sudden, she started backing away and talking about how great the black community was in treating whites in London. And then I used the magic words. I said, you know, it was ridiculous that England let people who were living in the Commonwealth automatically being able to live in London and the British Isles. All of a sudden, she got it. And she said, yes, it was horrible. They've taken over our public services. Now, again, folks, what did I do? I was able to find the right way to talk to this woman about not only Muslims, but also the black community. Where if you're white and you go in the black community, you got a good chance of being beat up. It's not only what they refer to in the WorldNet Daily as a Muslim grooming. It's a kosher grooming. Kosher grooming is in every country of the world, especially the white world, whether it's North, South America, Mother Europe, whether it's New Zealand, Australia, parts of, whatever. Kosher grooming. That's our problem. Turn on the television and just go through the channels and look at the stupid white people in these sitcoms. That is kosher grooming. The state of what's happening in terms of white folks as victims in this society, not only the United States, but everywhere. Getting back to the issue of white men and white women, a friend of mine who is very bright, she is a Mensa IQ person who lives in California. She told me on the phone this week, we were talking about this, the white woman, white male divide. She said, feminism, and then she qualified by saying Jewish feminism because that's what it is, Gloria Steinem and all the rest of the Jewish feminists who created the great divide between white men and women. And then you have the Ford Foundation, And I'm not sure if it's still run by this Jewish gal, and I'll think of her name in just a minute. But anyway, this Jewish woman that ran the Ford Foundation back in the 70s and 80s and I guess part of the 90s. But anyway, this gal funded feminism, funded all this. When she was running the Ford Foundation, she actually funded all of these ethnic programs around the country in the universities, funded ethnic studies, feminism, La Raza, black studies, homosexual studies, gay studies, as a way to deconstruct white America, to get us fighting each other in different factions, libertarians, Greens, Tea Party, neocons, whatever. It's all a part of the divide and conquer strategy. But anyway, this woman that I am friends with that lives on the West Coast told me, for white women, and she's one, she says the safest community for white women is where they are, where whites are in the majority. Duh. But again, folks, that can be part of our narrative, the white narrative. If you're a woman and a white woman and you want the best for white women, you live in a predominantly white community. That is the, these are the kinds of things that we as white people need to talk to each other about. Very important practical issues. I mentioned last week about this book by Ann Coulter called Mugged. And I also talked about Joel Gilbert's film in last week or the week before about the real father of Barack Hussein Obama. And then I talked about the 2016 Obama film. These films are financed, and this book, Mugged, is financed by Zionist interests in order to make us vote for Romney just for this election. I guarantee you that there will be not as much emphasis on the race issue from the point of view of what's of the victimization of white folks. If Romney wins, this will not be the focus of websites like WorldNet Daily. They will switch automatically to Iran because, you see, this is what Maggie Thatcher did with the Conservative Party in England. Start talking about the immigrants that are in England. That's what she did when she was running in order to undercut the British National Party that was righteously bringing this issue up. As soon as Maggie Thatcher got in power, she dropped that issue altogether. So again, folks, it is important, though, let me back up. It is important at the same time, in my opinion, that we use the opening which the Zionists have given us by quoting from Joel Gilbert's film, by quoting from Ann Coulter and her book, Bugged, by quoting from 2016 Obama, from the dialogue that went on in that film. Because if nothing else, especially 2016 Obama, that film, even though, in my opinion, 2016 Obama is the 21st century version of Birth of a Nation, but birth of what nation? The birth of the Zionist neocon nation of America, that we are a nation of immigrants, and that the only people that can talk about political correctness or ethnic issues of the day is a dark-skinned guy from India named Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh D'Souza was a guest at the American Renaissance Conference, and I believe this was in Louisville. It was either Louisville or Atlanta. Atlanta was the first one I went to in the 90s, and then after that, it was in Louisville 2 years after. But regardless, Dinesh D'Souza was sitting at the same table as me with some friends of mine. Dinesh D'Souza looked around the table like everybody at the table were people that he had to fear. Well, guess what? Guess what, folks? Dinesh D'Souza, who is that spokesperson, of course, he's just the puppet of that film. Dinesh D'Souza's in a heap of trouble, folks. If you go to WorldNet Daily, you'll see that Dinesh D'Souza resigned as president of King's College in Manhattan, New York City, New York. He went to a conference, an evangelical Christian conference. He's not yet divorced, and the gal that he was sharing the room with is evidently his new gal. He's not divorced yet. Okay, but in front of evangelical Christians, that's a major sin. So, another neocon idol, this one, a guy from India named Dinesh D'Souza, he boo-booed then, didn't he, folks? But I am glad that this film was made, 2016 Obama. I just ordered that film. I think I got it at my P.O. box just recently, but I'm really going to study that film. If you want to study a film that a lot of white, quote-unquote, conservatives look to as their justification of confronting Obama, if you want to study that to know what their mindset is so that we can all be able to refer to that in talking about our arguments, which are, why do we need a dark-skinned guy from India to argue the points about how bad Obama is? We know how bad Obama is. Obama is part of this anti-white effort to make us an ethnic minority, to bring in more and more non-whites in order to make us a minority. A famous labor leader once said, when he was asked, and again, folks, I'm 68 years old, I can't remember all this stuff, but he was the head of the United Mine Workers, and he's somebody that's very famous. In fact, Saul Alinsky wrote a book about him. But when he was asked one time after the mine workers, his United Mine Workers, won a strike, well, how do you feel about this, the fact that you won this strike? And he said, it's okay, but it's just not enough. Well, in terms of our white narrative, my point of view on how to talk about things of interest that are being put out there, leaked out there by the Zionist media as an ethnic teaser to get us to go along with their Romney guy, so that lo and behold, the first thing Romney does is to make war on Iran, send more white soldiers to their death. We can say, yeah, or my opinion is, 2016 Obama was an interesting movie. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Again, one of our problems, as far as I can see, as white folks, we don't know our boundaries. When somebody starts talking about World War II and the horrible deaths, yes, it was a death. It was a horrible tragedy. But guess who created it? The international bankers, the kosherized bankers, whether they be Jewish or Christian, funding both sides to make money, to kill millions, tens of millions of Europeans in Russia, in Western Europe, Eastern Europe. White genocide, as I say, Eurocide. As far as I'm concerned, that's how we can talk about issues. Look at it from the standpoint of saying or asking the question, is it good for white folks? If it ain't good for white folks, folks, it's not any good. I am so sick and tired of hearing white folks talk about abstractions like libertarianism, Ayn Randism, Obamaism, political correctness. Again, folks, as I said at the beginning of the hour, I feel we need to recycle political correctness. Transform it. Until we get to the point, and this again, my opinion, until we say, what are you going to do for us? What's your program for the European American community? We want our share. We want our white student union in all the high schools, in all the colleges. We want a white caucus in all the state legislatures, in all the city councils, and all of the county boards or supervisors or whatever, Congress. We want white caucuses, and we want white student unions, and we want it now. Now, I noticed that Greg Johnson interviewed Matthew Heimbach. I talked to Matthew on the phone recently. Matthew Heimbach is one of our guys, a good guy. Greg Johnson's one of our guys. Greg Johnson interviews a younger guy who is one of our leaders. How much courage do you think it takes for a man like Matthew to speak up? A lot, folks. And he's intelligent, and he's very well balanced. That's the kind of people that we need. So again, listen to Greg Johnson's interview with Matthew Heimbach. And by the way, folks, how about giving some money, if you've got some extra money, to the Countercurrents Publishing and Radio Network? We're all doing this for you. I'm 68. I'm going to continue to give you information that I get from my listeners. We need, as far as I'm concerned, Team Yuri, Team White folks. Today is football day, National Football League. Root for those white guys. Those are our people. No matter if they're liberals or conservative or whatever. One thing I've noticed, and I've mentioned this in the past in some of my programs, is this whole idea, if you go to a college football game, in the old days when I was going to school in the 60s, you rooted for guys, most of the guys on the team, and you felt a connection with them because they were white. Now, as whites become more and more of a minority on most of these teams, there's no connection. I went to a Washington State University game last year with a friend of mine, and what I noticed is the white students were walking around, looking up at the sky. They were there because it was an event. They were so cold in the way they looked at the game. You've got these messages flying up on the big screens at all these major college stadiums cheer. Hooray for our side. If you want to see a film that is right in line with that, with what I'm just talking about in terms of getting us to cheer because of messages, signs, whatever, purchase this film, They Live. They've turned our, these kosherized elites have turned our people into robots. Again, it is pathetic when students, white students that go to these games, look at it as just some place, and basically using the terminology of the young people, as a place to hook up. Maybe see a gal at the stadium that you could have a date with. They're not there because they love these athletes, these non-white athletes. They're there because everybody else is going. Why are we supposed to love other ethnic athletes when we can't even have a white student union on every campus in the country? When we can't celebrate White Heritage Day, White Heritage Month? Just something to ponder, folks. I want to mention another thing. I sent this out to my email list on another network, on Republic Broadcasting. Deanna Spingola hosted a debate between Carolyn Yeager and Jim Condon Jr. If you want to learn a little bit more about World War II, listen to it. Again, folks, in my opinion, we need an informed populace, an informed group of white people. And I think it's incredible that European American women, such as Carolyn Yeager and Deanna Spingola, are doing things just like we're doing on this network to educate, not from the standpoint of who is more smart, who is the smartest kid in the block. It's about educating each other. I learned from everybody. I learned from Zionists. I learned from all different political persuasions. That's the way I learn, not only from experience, but reading other material that's relevant to the survival of European American people. Have you ever seen, folks, this term about, I'm sure you have, if you're listening to this network, far right? How about far kosher? We're always thought of as far out, not as in, wow, that's effing far out. No, as in wacko. As Kevin McDonald talked about in his explanation of what the American Third Position Party is all about, he said the other side, the kosherized other side, thinks of us as a mental disorder because we care about our own people. That we are stupid because we care about our own people. These people are ridiculous and vindictive. If you want to blow somebody's mind, tell somebody who disagrees with you that you are deeply hurt by their opinions of white folks, and that you are deeply textured and vibrant. Every time I've used that, people smirk, but so what? It's called cognitive dissonance. It's called white people's version of pill pull, of argumentation, of the dialectic. Okay, something I wanted to mention in terms of sports. Up here in this area, northern Idaho, eastern Washington, there's a school called Gonzaga, which is a very left-wing Jesuit institution, Catholic institution. But they have a good basketball team, relatively good. They're usually in between fifth at the end of the year, between 15th in the nation and 20th, or a little bit higher, between 15th and 25th in terms of recognition of the best teams, basketball teams in the country. Well, why do so many people up here like it, like this school? Well, as I was looking at their roster, about 6 out of 12 of their members of their team are white guys. Well, that's the thing that most people don't want to talk about, is the reason that people root for Gonzaga is because there's some good white players. If you another one of my favorite teams in basketball, because I love basketball, especially white basketball players. But when I watch and there's nothing but blacks out there, I usually change the channel now. But Butler has great in Indiana. They have great teams, but I follow them because they have a great coach. And they have great white basketball players. I like the Dallas Mavericks. Why? Because of Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki is going to be off for 6 to 8 weeks because of a surgery on his knee. But I like Dirk. My Italian friend who lives over in England was explaining to somebody. Oh, no, this was another Italian friend that lives back east. And his son was rooting for the United States Olympic team that only had one white player on it. A guy named Love, L-O-V-E. And the son just loved the U.S. basketball, Olympic basketball team. Well, my friend Joe says, told his son, hey, I supported the Italian team. Why? Because they look like me. Well, isn't that just right up our alley, folks? Why should we be cheering for people other than our own ethnicity? The other groups, they love to cheer for their own ethnicity. They don't have any qualms about rooting for it. The kosherized media doesn't jump on them because they support teams that are predominantly black. No, they encourage it. They think, oh, that's great that he supports his heritage. But as soon as we white folks, like here on the Countercurrents Network, we fight for our own people's interests, it's a mental disorder, according to them. We're stupid. Well, why do so many Jewish folks, predominantly Jewish folks, support Israel? Why? Because there's a lot of Latinos there? Because there's lots of Arabs there that make them an ethnic minority? No, they like it because it's a Jewish state. Now, the hypocrisy run wild, folks. So if you're a basketball fan like me, hey, support those teams that have good white players. And how about Penn State? Penn State's had so many black players leave. Now Penn State's doing good. I saw one white guy blogging recently, and he said, hey, let's all support Penn State, because now they got more white players. Well, this year, I'm supporting the Penn State Nittany Lions. Why? Because I get to see more white players playing for Penn State. I love to see white players playing. Okay, enough of that, folks. Let's go on to something else here. I got this from an American who lives over in Russia, talking about the I don't know if this is Jean-Marie Le Pen's group, the Front National, but and it says again in the in this story, it talks about far right French group hold sit-in protest against a new mosque. And if those of you who haven't seen this video of Français Identitaire, and if I'm mispronouncing it or I don't have the words right, it's a short video about French people saying we're not going to be intimidated by Islam on French soil. We're not going to be threatened. We're not going to walk to the side of them as they take over the sidewalks. But anyway, there was a protest. I don't know what city this is, whether it was, I don't know. I just happened to get this, but it's from a network called France 24. And it came out, today, French far-right group storm site of new mosque. You know, how about having some more churches instead of these mosques that are popping up all over the place? We don't need more mosques. We need more churches, but we need churches that defend the interests of white folks. So anyway, that's just something that I got from my email list. Also, there was something here about, where was this? Here it is. This is from a website. I don't know where. Oh, this is from Occidental Observer. I urge those of you who are not aware or haven't subscribed to the Occidental Quarterly, which I'm a subscriber of. In fact, Matt Parrott has an excellent essay called With a Whimper. Yigdha Strill has an essay in here, Modeling the Collapse. Farnham O'Reilly has an essay in here, Never Waste a Crisis. And also, Alex Kurtagic, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. He's also written an essay called The Collapse, Daydream Versus Reality. Another one that I particularly liked was Revisiting the 19th Century Russian Pogroms by Andrew Joyce. And as I've told you people before, told all of you folks before, my brothers and sisters, that I refer to the kosherized programs of the Western world as not, I don't pronounce it programs. I pronounce it programs. You know, again, I talk about world Yuri instead of Jewry. I counterpose programs to programs. Again, folks, it's an effing mind dissidence strategy. This is how, in my opinion, we show that we've come to participate in society in an activist way by using their words and deviating from them in order to recycle PC, to make PC so that it reflects our interests. So, this link from the Occidental Observer, which is called Race Relations 101 with Ann Coulter. This is written by gentleman Cooper Sterling. Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. I have a real problem of saying that word, demagoguery, but whatever. I bought this book. The only reason I haven't read more into it is because of the fact that this thing with Ann Coulter, she feels like the only way that she can speak out in a strong way against the Zionist left is if she dates black guys. I guess her present boyfriend is a black guy. To me, it's up to each individual, but I see so many of our people that, I'm married to somebody of a different ethnicity, so now I can talk straighter. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's called cowardice. But anyway, to each his own. But as I mentioned to you earlier, Ann Coulter is an important person because she's being supported in her publishing efforts because of the fact that Obama's in there. My prediction is, again, as soon if Romney gets in there and wins, what's going to happen? Ann Coulter is next going to be writing some book about how terrible Iran is. See, it's just to suck white voters into voting for Romney. But anyway, this week, I guess it was Thursday, I went to the Board of Elections building in Coeur d'Alene, and I cast my absentee ballot. In fact, I would urge people to vote ahead of time, to vote absentee, instead of getting caught up in the hullabaloo of these Zionist elections coming up in November. Vote ahead of time. I voted for Merlin Miller and Virginia Abernathy of the American Third Position Party. And then I wrote myself in, folks, as a person running against the Zionist left and Zionist right candidates for Congress. We have this clown up here who used to be an immigration attorney, Raul Labrador, who is very weak on the immigration issue. I voted for myself. For those of you who live in other places, write in yourself. Why not? I don't support Raul Labrador. And again, folks, vote for third party. I voted for Merlin and Virginia because I know them both and I know they're honorable people. They've taken a lot of heat for running. That's what we need is more people participating, whether it's running for office, which I've done twice up here, whether it's introducing the European American Heritage Month resolution. It got passed in California once. Again, do something. Help your other white folks out, folks. If you see a white family that's struggling and they're good folks, help them out. Give them some warm clothes. Take over produce from your trees in your backyard. Like I did that with my apple tree. I gave it to needy white folks. Give to this network. We're all in this together. Nobody's any better. We need to think in terms of Team White, Team Yuri, Team European Americans, Team European Russians, Team European South Americans, Central Americans, Team European Mexicans. Now, there's a novel concept. And there are European Mexicans, folks. And Spanish is one of the great European languages. So let's all do our part. And thanks again for the Countercurrents Network for allowing me to be on here. I'm just doing what I can, folks. And do what you can. We're all in this together, and God bless. Thank you. Until next week, this is Stan Hess saying, take care. Bye.